So hi, everybody, and welcome to our ERC open coaching for the month of June. It's our second one. We had our first one on in the evening and then another one in the day. And it's just so funny because the same people show up. I expect to see different groups have different schedules and my same regulars showing up. I know Jeannie's not here because she's on vacation and some of the other regulars are not, but it's very interesting. So anyway, so we're here for our open coaching. I'm here to support you, whatever you need, whatever questions you might have, whatever issues. And I always love to hear celebrations. So if anybody wants to go around and just share a quick celebration, something that you accomplished that you planned to and yay, or something that you're experiencing that you're excited about. So let's start. Oh, it looks like Krisha has her hand up. Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Cool. Hi. Hello.
Hello, hello. Good to see you. You're outdoors and getting some sunshine. That's nice.
It's the first sunshine we've had in about 3 weeks. It's been so great and depressing. I've had really, really full-blown SAD. Oh. And this morning I just thought, I can't live like this anymore. And then this afternoon, finally, we got some sunshine.
Oh, great. Awesome, awesome. And you're used to living in Florida where you can just walk out on the beach and get your negative ions and sun and wow, being exactly. In England is a bit different. So,
it's just wonderful. And, you know, I'm still sleeping with a hot water bottle and sometimes I've been freezing, but there's a heat wave in Europe. I don't know if you know, and it's over 100 degrees. My sister in Germany can't bear it. Everyone's complaining.
And you're happy, right?
I guess. Well, I'm happy. I was waiting for it to get here finally. My cousin in Switzerland says it's over 100 degrees. Everyone's dying on the continent. and now it's coming here. I'm so happy.
Yay. You're like me. It's like, yeah, I'll take 100 any day over 50.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for you. So is that your celebration that it's sunny or did you have something else?
Well, that would be a big one, but I had something else. I got a copy of the my ultra scan and it's just one sentence that I tried to upload it, but I couldn't upload it. They sent me a piece of paper. And if I can just read you.
Yes.
It says, "An 11-millimeter full-thickness tear is seen in the anterior portion of the otherwise normal supraspinatus."
That's what I was suspecting.
And then all the others are normal too. The biceps, the subscapularis, and the infraspinatus. So okay. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like...
The muscle, I'll show you where it sits. It's up here. See, if this is your scapula back here, and there's this thing I call the spine, and it's like a bony prominence that separates the top part from the bottom part, the supraspinatus. Is right. So if you reach behind you, I think I had a spasm in mine the other day. You just reach behind you, and you feel uh-huh. that, feel the bone of the scapula right above that, right above that. It controls some of the movements like... one of the ways we test it to see if it's weak is you put your hand out. They call it the empty can test. And you make believe you're emptying out a can like that. And then if you can't hold that position, that muscle is not holding, right? So a full, you know, it's the anterior part. So it's the part that comes around the front part. It all goes into the humerus and the capsule. So it's the part that comes around here.
That's where it hurts the most. And sometimes it hurts so much, I'm about to faint.
It hurts down here. That's probably your bicep, your deltoid trying to make up for that being weak.
Right.
Okay. And your deltoid does similar motions. It's the motion of coming up like this. The supraspinatus is more of it at an angle, but it's kind of like this. It's like a 45 degree angle out and up. But the deltoid, your body is going to recruit your deltoid more, and that's going to be in this upper part of your arm here, the big old monster muscle, right? And a lot of times the reason that you tear the small rotator cuff muscles is that you're working out and making really good headway on strengthening the big muscles, and those little muscles they just don't get affected. So the exercises she gave you are probably things that would be strengthening you in this direction.
No, she gave me a simple one with a stretch band just to stretch apart slightly to lift up, stretching with the band, and then one against the wall going this is difficult. Going up with a straight elbow. Ouch, you see that really hurts. So I've been practicing that on the wall. That's all she gave me.
That's the only one that I see as useful for that muscle, but that's my opinion. oftentimes, one of the ones that I teach people, pull this out of the way, is I teach people to do this thing where you just hold something in your hand. It could be just like a little 1 pound weight or a can or something, and you're standing and you're basically, I use this as a support. I take it and I make it go around. And I take it and I make it go around passively to open up the capsule in that humerus space. And that's a first starting point. I generally wouldn't start somebody with bands because we want to get some mobility and like I said the other day, reduce inflammation, et cetera.
Oh, well, actually, I have been doing this, and I've been recently, I put wrist weight on. So I've been doing this one with the wrist weight.
Okay. That's where I would start. Now, with the supraspinatus, if it is a full all the way through, that's, you know, surgery is an option there, right? But you want to be able to strengthen the other aspects of it. But I still highly recommend the ultrasound to see if that would
I got help. It.
It's you did? Oh, yay! Yeah.
I haven't
looked at it yet.
Yeah. Sometimes you tell me to order something at 1 o'clock at night. I order it, see you next day. Same in the States. I mean, it's Amazon Prime. It's amazing. So I'm going to unpack that after we've done here.
Here's a couple of things you want to do. You want to get in there and you're working. You're going to find a spot that's going to be tender right there where it attaches into through the bone. And just poke around to the most tender spot. I don't have one, but you're going to find the one that's most tender and you're going to do some massaging. You'll feel the direction that fiber is going. So it's going this way. You're going to be massaging this way. Just really one finger, it's very specific, back and forth. It hurts like hell. And then you ice it afterwards. So you do the ultrasound beforehand to loosen things up and get everything. Then you're on there and it hurts and you do it for as long. When I first started doing this in clinic, I said to my professor, I said, well, how long do I have to do this for? He goes 8 to 10 minutes. I'm like, I can't do that for 8 to 10 minutes. He says, I know, but you know, that's the goal. If you could, I mean, they would slap me in the face if I did that for 8 to 10 minutes and my finger would fall off if I did it for 8 to 10 minutes, but that's the thing for you to do. And then you ice it. Cross fiber.
Cross like
perpendicular.
That.
Yep. They call it cross fiber massage.
Okay.
The other thing I would also look at doing is to do something where once you're done with that, you take your finger and you go along the way that fiber is going in and you're like pressing it and saying, come on, baby, you can do it. You can attach, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So you're pushing it against there. There's proprioceptors in those muscles and we want to retrain the brain as to the strength of the muscles as well. So that's one of the things that you can do.
So does that mean it can heal? It can?
When it's all the way through, you know, without actually seeing it, if it's all the way through, but it's just one part of it that's an all the way through tear, it's not the entire tendon. You know what I'm saying? It's not the entire, it's the front part. It could, or you can help the rest of it to repair. But it might need surgery. Just to
know that.
But believe in your body's ability to heal it and do all this stuff and get yourself to the point where it's functional again.
Right. Because I believe in miracles and I had one this year, this, you know, recently, this amazing miracle with my son, with the mental health and the schizophrenia and the addiction. And it seems like he's coming out of it and he's speaking and he's doing better than he's done in 20 years. And he actually speaks to me now and smiles.
Nice.
Sometimes.
Okay. So that's a huge miracle. That miracle is way bigger than fixing a torn rotator cuff. Right.
Yeah.
So if you can manifest that, you're going to manifest this healing. And every time while you're doing, visualize that tendon attaching to the bone and finding its way to get on there. The ultrasound's going to reduce some of the inflammation and the space. What happens is, all these little tendons, there's all these four tendons that are crossing in into that space. And it's a really small space. And so when they get inflamed because they're injured, it makes space. And then you can't lift your arm all the way because of that. Yeah. Right? You can't.
Yeah. So Yeah. It's still really,
So the ultrasound helps a lot. This helps a lot. And then very gradually increasing the mobility in the different angles. This way, this way. Get to the point where you can, I would say after about a week of doing the ultrasound, get to the point where you can't, like, okay, if I go past that, it's going to hurt. And just a tip, very gentle push against it and push back up just to increase the strength very gradually, very, very slowly, because you don't want to re-inflame it. And those are the things I would. Right. So a little bit long for a quick celebration, but there you have it.
And thank if you find somebody
who specializes in rotator cuff stuff that knows, like does hands-on therapy, not somebody who goes, do this exercise. Because the exercises are important, but you've got to do things in sequence so that you don't inflame it.
Okay. I'm going to go and write this all down.
I can't believe you got the ultrasound that quickly. This was Tuesday night at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or something.
I know. It's amazing. Some of modern life is amazing. And I just wanted to say that the miracle with my son wasn't just me and my prayers, etc. I also got some other dimensional help via Howard Wills. I don't know if you know Howard Wills.
No, he's, looks like Diana does.
A Californian, I don't know what to call him, visionary or... I don't know what to call him, but he does powerful, powerful healing work. So I had maybe a few sessions.
Somebody to call on for the shoulder.
I did. So we'll see if he works as well with that as with my son. But he does ancestral work and he heals long lines of ancestors, you know, up until now. So yeah.
Is that like the what do they call that? The family constellations type work?
Sort of, except it's kind of, different dimensions, but I guess it's the same idea. The
same idea that we don't just take things on that are the genetics, but it's the field and there's so much. I did one of those workshops once. It was uncanny what came up with that.
It's
and amazing. Be careful if you have kids or your kids have kids, who they name their kids after. That's one of the things that came out of that. My aunt Catherine, was my father's sister, died at age 29 of lymphoma. My sister, Catherine, died at age 44 of lymphoma. Right? And it's like, well, what's the chances that it's a common name? But I believe that there's some of that family dynamics that she took on.
Absolutely. The word is so powerful. You have to be very, very, very careful. And if I can just add, the same with tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
There was a surgeon who once spoke about the tattoos that people have and how many times he's come across, you know, dead bodies of people who've died in exactly the same way as what they have tattooed on their bodies.
Right.
Gruesome beyond idea, but it's the power of the word.
The power of that, everything is energetic, right?
He had such awful examples that I'm not even going to say, but you know, be very careful when you have tattoos.
Those tattoos drive me nuts. My son, though, wanted to get a tattoo that said, I love mom. I think that would be a good one.
That's a sweet one. That's okay.
Anyway, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for all this advice. I'm going to go. I'll be on the line, but I'm going to go and write it all down.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye from England. Bye. Sunny England.
From England. Have you and Barbara hooked up yet?
No, I've been really busy with the house and everything.
Yeah, you'll have to hook up. Just have tea together or something.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Sarah just joined us. And Donna's there, but I just see this green line. So I don't see Donna, but thank you for joining us, Donna. And then Rose and Susanna. And I said hi to everybody else, I think. And let's see. Maya's on. I don't see Maya, but I see her name. Okay, that's everybody. And Lynn, of course. So hi, who has, anybody else have a celebration? And if not, we'll jump right into how I can support you. So just if you want to talk, raise your hand. Sarah.
Hey.
Hey.
One of the reasons I'm on this call today at 1 o'clock instead of the 7 p.m. thing is that I have changed my schedule radically, and it's really, really working for me. The book that I wrote that I'm illustrating, right? It's about new beginnings and new birth, and I wanted one of the windows face east, so I wanted to be to get the dawn light energy into the studio, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went online to find out when exactly is sunrise, and there's like four of them. One of them's like 4:30 in the morning. The last one's like 6:30 at the moment, right? 4:30 is really, really early. But yeah. I decided that I was going to set my alarm for 4:30 and get in here like 5:30 because it's still pretty early morning light. And I didn't know if I could even do that because, you know, I'm like you. I've been going to bed late for a long time. And but what that meant was not only getting into bed really pretty early, but like eating dinner earlier, you know, for the 3-hour digestive thing, and just shifting my whole life. So 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
And I have to tell you that I absolutely am loving it. It's amazing to me that I am, and I'm sleeping, I think, better. I've started dreaming like crazy.
Nice.
So it's just really interesting. I feel very motivated to make sure that light is out by 9:30 at night.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's really different, you know. Anyway, for me, it's a big plus.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And what's some of the major changes you've seen, like the things that you're really enjoying experiencing?
One of the things is that, you know, by, I mean, 10 or 11 a.m., I have accomplished so much without hardly trying, really. And also, you know, I have my little speed walking thing that I do in the morning. And now, like, by 7:30 or 8 or 8:30, I'm ready because I've been up so long. You know, I'm out there with the spandex people. It's really, it's different. not to insult anybody on the call if you're a spandex.
I wear spandex, I mean, but.
Dedicated neighborhood people who are out there. So,
awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. And how's the book coming?
Oh, it's coming along. There's moments, Dr. Rita Marie, when I think, you know, you might finish this by the end of the summer. And then there's moments when it's like, I just spent 2 weeks working on this one picture. You will not finish it by the end of the summer. But it's coming along, and I'm very, I've recaptured the enthusiasm in the passion that for so long, even though I was working on it, I kept thinking, well, where did that go? do you know? Because I've been working on this for a long time. And but anyway, that's another very long discussion, but I seem to have recaptured it, and I can't even tell you how grateful I am.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. And I can't wait for the world to actually get to experience it.
You may be the first to know.
I will love to get that preview copy.
All right. It's a deal.
All right. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Who else? Diana.
Unmute. Okay. One of my little wins, but it's also a question. This is a kohlrabi.
Kohlrabi. I love kohlrabi.
I just went out and cut it. I'm going to kimchi this little guy.
Ooh.
But, you know, I've always wondered about the leaves. See all their
delicious,
beautiful stuff right there?
Yeah.
Normally, I would just strip it and feed it to the chickens.
And those leaves are great.
Those wonderful eggs that I eat, the only ones I can't eat. But anyway, this is the part that usually goes to the chickens, and I looked at them this year, and they're so gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, I wonder if you would know. Is it appropriate to juice these guys or green smoothie them?
You can juice them. I haven't done that. They are slightly bitter, but the way I've used them is as a wrap. You know, put a little salt on them to soften them up a bit, and then put some pate and avocado and veggies and sprouts and stuff inside. But I would imagine you could steam them, saute them, juice them, taste one just to get a sense, and you'll know how much, like, dandelion. You wouldn't put a whole bunch of dandelion in a little juice because it would blow your mind, right? See, find out that. Whereas you could put a whole bunch of, you know, kale or spinach in there. So just taste it. What is it like?
It's a little bitter, a little sour. That's what I was curious about. Like I said, I have no problem with been feeding them to the chickens for years.
Yeah. Try with one leaf in a smoothie and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then try them sauteed, steamed, chopped up in a soup, kinds of things. Yeah.
I've been using like collards and kale and I've got everything green in the
They're place. A little more tender is my experience, because at one point one of the farmers markets was actually selling the kohlrabi leaves from the kohlrabi.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. I was just curious because normally people just strip them off and toss them, I'm trying to stock up as much green smoothies in frozen form as possible during the summer so that I will have them to thaw out in the winter.
Yeah,
less greens available.
Perfect.
I'm just thinking, before I toss this one out, as I was looking at harvesting it this morning, so I just want to go ahead and grab that. But this is going to become my kimchi, my first batch from the garden this year.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Cucumbers, but
I love that you are sustaining yourself from your garden.
Yeah, it's about 90% to 95% now from the garden, and I've got my first broccoli heading up right now. The heads are about that big.
Nice.
So that means in about a week, I'm going to be harvesting broccoli.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we'll harvest it for the rest of the summer, because once we get the main head, then we let the plants continue to produce and they produce little side shoots.
And it doesn't get too hot where you are for it. Like here, broccoli would die off with this heat.
Yeah, it'll try to go to flower and seed. So anyway, as long as you keep harvesting it, it'll keep growing more little tiny.
Oh, lovely.
So I've got a lot of broccoli this year. I've got a lot of celery. And those were the things that I was using as my staples in my green drinks. So,
well, now you have something new to try. I love kohlrabi. If you guys haven't tried kohlrabi, I don't know if you get it in England, but I just like peel it and slice it into thin, like I need it like jicama, eat it as a dip, dipper. Really good.
Yeah, I started really getting into it last summer, and man, it was just yummy. So, yeah, that's, I decided
good
I grew
up on it.
So that's just part of our wins for the week.
Wonderful. Yum.
It's gonna be delicious. First of the season. So that's my win.
Yay! Big win. I love it. I love it. Yay. Who else? I see Donna is got you got on. There you are. We're seeing you from the bottom up. Oops, there she is. Can't hear you because you're muted. Let's see. There you go. Hey. Whoops.
I'm driving. That's why.
Oh, well, you drive safely. Yeah. You don't need to. Don't be looking at us. Just drive and listen.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Good. Good. Any wins or any concerns you have? Or are you going to get to where you're going to go and then you can talk?
I'm almost home, so... If you give me just a few more minutes, I'll be home.
Great. That'll be better. You just focus on driving. Be safe.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. Who else? I love the ceiling. Look at her ceiling. Look at Krisha's. She's got like a sunroof or something with the beautiful greenery through it. It looks great.
Hey, actually, that's a vine that I planted. It took me
three. Oh, it's a vine. It's not a window. I see. Oh, beautiful.
And last year we had grapes. Which Ooh. Is unusual in England, but it took me years and years to cultivate it because it's usually too cold.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the grapes were the best in the world. Tiny little beautiful purple ones.
Nice. But
thank you for noticing. I'm really, I was going to grow a whole shade for my mum. At least she got to enjoy it for 1 year.
For 1 year. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Who else? Questions, comments? Ways I could support you, successes, questions about our talk the other day. Do you have any, Susanna?
I do, and I think this might be of interest to Diana as well. I was looking online for the Adrenochrome, and I think that they've stopped making it because I went on to the Apex Energetics website, and I, unfortunately they don't have all products where it's real easy for you to, but I scrolled through every single topic that they had, and it wasn't in there anywhere, and neither was the OxyCell. Now, what I found online was that, yeah, there's still a couple of places that are selling it, that they still have it in their stock. One place advertised it and then said it's not available. Two places on Amazon had jacked the price up. And then there was one place, Brown Family Chiropractic or something, that sold it for, I think, was probably the real retail price. But I'm thinking that probably, and if you recommended that for Diana as well, we need to find something that...
Yeah. So what we're going to look for, I mean, I'm on Amazon now. I see it. They do have three new from $64.99. Which,
right. And the other place was charging $39. So they,
oh wow,
yeah, they really jacked up the price.
Well, I would buy whatever you could from wherever you can buy it from, and you know, just make sure it's not expired. And then I'm going to look for phosphatidyl. I wonder if they had to rename it from a, you know, an FDA perspective, because it says, you know, it's kind of has a, you know what I mean, like.
Do you remember when, I think it was during the lab, one of the lab calls, both Lynn Rose and I were actively looking. We found something, only it doesn't, I can't remember, Lynn.
I think it was the OxyCell that you guys were looking for, because I had just recommended it to everybody on the call.
Included in the OxyCell that we didn't like. And so we were looking for alternatives.
Yeah, and there are. I love to find alternatives because I love the formulation, but they do include some excipients.
Well, I did the search and found the product that Lynn had talked about, and they don't make it anymore. And you have to buy two different things now because they only had like the SOD and catalase, and they didn't have the glutathione. They didn't have the three together.
Yeah.
But it was real convoluted trying to find it.
So like this one I found, it's a thing that has phosphatidylserine in it, but it also has caffeine. Why would you put caffeine in something that you're trying to do to calm down your adrenals? It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's got other stuff in it. It has astragalus.
And not homeopathic, is it?
It says caffeine, 50 milligrams.
Oh, okay.
And a half a scoop. So that seems to me would be hyper, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be a little concerned about doing that for adrenal calm. I'm looking to see that's a phytoestrogen, genius mushrooms. Oh, genius gamer. Let's see, genius mushrooms. They have topical. I wonder that, do you remember the name of the company that Janine mentioned that has topical patches? They have all kinds of things. I wonder if they have glutathione. Do you remember the name of that one, Lynn? Precepts and Rishi, Adrenocom, Uncall Focus. Yeah, most of them are not. I'm going to see if I can find it. They had a whole bunch, and they had CoQ10, and they had all kinds of things in patches. And I wonder, they had glutathione in patch too.
I think it was LifeWave.
LifeWave. I wonder if they have patches. Let me look it up in here. LifeWave patch. Because they had a whole slew of different...
Yeah, so actually she told me they do have one. I thought it was PatchMD, but I don't...
Okay, so this, I did go to the one that you said, LifeWave. They have energy patches, glutathione patches, IceWave. I don't know what that is. Silent Night. Let's see what's in Silent Night. Product label. This one. So there's some good stuff that we say work great.
Yeah, it is PatchMD.
PatchMD? Okay, let's go there.
Yeah,
okay, what's in this though? Description. And Silent Night patch, but it doesn't say what's in it, just like, hey, it works great. But what's in it? Organic technology. Or you apply to specific acupuncture points. Okay, so Patch MD, let's look there.
Yeah, I put the link in the chat there for you. It has riboflavin, R5P, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, L-glutathione, N-acetylcysteine, molybdenum, glycinate, manganese chelate, magnesium malate.
That's a glutathione patch. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that what you're looking for?
No. We're looking for phenylserine.
Oh, okay. I thought you said adrenochrome.
No, we're looking for something related to glutathione. Okay. Let me look at your stop. That's okay. Glutathione's good. So that's, but it doesn't have the SOD and catalase, I don't think. Let's see. Patch MD products. Here we go. And they have, let's see if we can search. I don't see a search. I hate when they don't have search features and you have to scroll through everything. That's probably by design, right? Because then you just shop. Sleep starter. Here's one. Let's see what this is. Topical patch. They're latex, lactose, and gluten and sugar free. This one has magnesium, valerian, hops, 5-HTP, and melatonin. So no, that's not what we're looking for. Maybe there's one called Calm Anti-Aging K3. They have some good stuff here. We should share the generic link.
I read something yesterday, too. It was talking about the spore biotics, you know, megaspore and those things.
Yeah.
That enhance the SOD and all that as well, the catalase.
That could be good, yeah.
So adding that in would help.
Would feed through the glutathione for sure. Yeah, that plus the patch. I'm not seeing anything that seems to be. They have multi.
There's one here that says Focus Plus topical patch. That seems, if I'm reading this correctly.
Let's see. Focus Plus. Where is that? What's in it?
And that's what I'm trying to find out here.
The sleep one was more of a melatonin 5-HTP, so different pathways, which definitely we don't need for, that might be good for.
So it has vitamin A, B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, B7, B9, C, vitamin D, B12, theanine, 5-HTP, magnesium malate, NAC, omega-3, DHA, and EPA. So in the PMD complex, it has phosphatidylcholine, zinc citrate, passion flower, ginseng, lemon balm, chromium, lion's mane, molybdenum, phosphatidylserine, potassium citrate.
How much serine does it say? Does it say how much?
It doesn't say because it's a part of a blend.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that blend. So I just wonder how much phosphatidylserine would have. I mean, it's certain, these patches are certainly things to experiment with because a lot of folks who have the impaired digestive capacity is a great way to do it. Phosphatidylserine topical. Let's see. Or magnolia would be phosphatidylserine. Here's one, phosphatidylserine patch MD. Why did I see that there? Oh, it's in the it's the one you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, Focus Plus. Although the omega-3 one has omega-3 plus seems to have it too. That's omega-3, this is 1250 omega-3s, black currant, ALA, GLA, phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylserine 100 milligrams in. That's not bad for one patch. Considering it would get absorbed better, considering most of the stuff. Let's see, that's just in the omega-3 plus. And then the focus doesn't say how much.
No, because it's part of that formula.
Oh, PMD complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad. So hard to know because there's so much else in here, you know.
Yeah, and I don't need vitamin B at night.
B vitamins in. Well, B6 can be helpful at night. It doesn't have 12. That's what I was looking for. But the ones and twos can actually be a little stimulating for nighttime too. So you might look at the omega-3 patch. because it does have 100 milligrams, and you can maybe cut back on your oral vitamin D, by omega-3 by taking it. I'll give you a link to that. You might want to look at this.
I was trying to find out what was in it. It says it's 100% latex, lactose, and gluten-free.
Yep.
So, because I know Diana was saying she's allergic to most.
Most adhesives, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly worth trying. And I think they have some kind of, you know, try it. And if you're allergic to it, you send it back. I think that's what Janine had said. But anyway, that's the one with the omega-3 plus. So that might be a good thing to at least try and see if that gives you some help with that. But I, you know, we'll keep an eye open. I keep some windows open to see if I can find a topical glutathione that doesn't have some garbage in it, like the one, like, I don't want caffeine in your, I mean, no, you want to be up all night? Like, really? Not really a good idea to mix phosphatidylserine and caffeine unless they have like a, you know, there's some kind of a what's the word? The opposite, paradoxical effect of the caffeine, but seems a little odd to me.
Well, I have a couple more questions, but I don't want to monopolize. So I'm going to let you
decide. Okay, let me go around and then we'll come back to you. So who else has questions? If nobody else does, then we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Okay, Barbara.
Hi. Hello. First, I want to say that I'm really astonished that I get quite a lot of compliments recently. People saying that I'm looking really well and my skin looks really well.
Nice.
And somebody today said, Barbara, have you ever thought of becoming an actress? You have such a good...
Wow.
Yeah, with awesome. Well over 70, sure.
Yes, I know. We always look at people and like, huh, that's not what 70-year-olds usually look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
So that is very nice. And somebody said yesterday you seem to have a really good energy, nice. Which was nice as well.
Nice. Beautiful.
One thing which is concerning me is that since a few weeks I developed heart palpitations. And I don't yet completely understand why. And the things I tried, I had palpitations before, and I always kind of got to grips with it when I took Hawthorn. Mm-hmm. But this time it doesn't do the trick. Okay. And I'm receiving acupuncture and homeopathy. And nothing helps completely. The homeopathy helped, certainly, with the palpitations to become less. But it is kind of up and down. You know, there are days where I have more palpitations and days where I have less.
And how long do they last for?
It is sometimes I get just one or two blobs, you know, that it is an irregular beat. Sometimes it's a sequence of irregular heartbeats which last for several minutes. And strangely enough, for instance, often when I wake up in the morning, I get them. And for my life, I can't understand because I'm, you know, waking up and from sleep and then getting heart palpitations is, to me, is very odd.
So let me ask you this. Are you on any thyroid medication?
No.
Okay. Because if you were, sometimes that happens as you're changing your lifestyle, you know, and you need less and less of the thyroid medication. And mm-hmm. when it's too high, you're going to get palpitations and get sweaty. I would say I always err on the side of caution when it comes to stuff related to the heart. And I would go in and get it checked out. You know, maybe get a echocardiogram or something to just see what might be going on. You know, maybe you've had a valve thing all your life and it just really is manifesting. Was there anything at all that changed in terms of travel, new carpeting at home, shifts in your environment over the last, you know, how long has this been going on for? A couple of months?
No, about 3 to 4 weeks now.
So what was happening right before that in your life? Anything different? Any changes in environment and emotional or?
Well, I was emotionally rather challenged over the last month. I thought that that could be contributing to that. And also, I'm pushing myself, and I had taken on the role of event manager about a month ago or 1.5 months ago, and I had to push myself quite a lot because I had very little time to do what I was supposed to do, and that might have contributed to that I pushed myself too much.
Right. Now, are you back into a swing where you're not pushing so hard, or are you still having to push for a deadline?
No, not so much. What is interesting as well is that often when I'm doing something, I don't get the palpitation so much. It is more in the rest when I'm resting. And also when I'm sitting in the evenings, when I'm sitting in front of the computer for some reason, I have them sometimes quite strongly.
It sounds like when your body is not distracted by other things. So let me ask you this. It sounds like it could be a parasympathetic, an issue, and oversympathetic, under parasympathetic. Have you taken your blood pressure?
Yes, my blood pressure is tends to be more weak, low than high. And it is normally kind of 100 over 60 or something, or 65. Mm-hmm. Recently I had it even going down to 90.
Still maintaining the same diastolic, the same lower number? 90 over 60, or did that go down as well?
No, 90 over 60.
Okay. All right.
And I had an ECG. Do you call it ECG?
Yeah.
A very brief one at my surgery, and that was normal.
And that was how long ago?
That was end of last week.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's good that you know, we want to rule out an organic cause versus a stress-related, biochemical, something like that-related cause, like is the heart functioning? They didn't find any abnormalities, any valvular problems. And if it was brief, I mean, it depends on how brief, you want to be able to look at the rhythm over a little bit more of an extended time to just see if there's, like you said, blips that are happening. Mm. But that's certainly that's good news. Are you doing meditation and were you throughout this process when you had to push yourself?
Yeah.
Meditation, heart math.
What I often forget is to do something like relaxation wise as well during the day. I do it in the morning before I get up because I want to do it before my mind is starting like big time. But I think I have to learn to intersperse it throughout my day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can use a phone or some sort of a timer to set a timer when you hear it. You just take even just 30 seconds to a minute to put yourself in there, you know? I think that could be very helpful. Calming, you know, maybe some calming herbs, right? So lemon balm comes to mind. Chamomile possibly, but lemon balm really, really, it's just a nerving, it just calms down the whole nervous system. And you could do that easily by going to the store, going to the nursery, getting a lemon balm plant, twisting the little leaves right before you go to bed, you know, to get yourself in that calm state, making a tea out of it, throwing some in your smoothie, like a handful of lemon balm leaves.
I do that almost every day because I like it so much.
Oh, okay.
I have lots growing in my garden.
You do. Okay. So that's something you're already doing. Mm. You said hawthorn. Hawthorne didn't help, but the homeopathics have. How long have you been doing the homeopathics?
Since a week.
It maybe it's on its way, and Lynn Rose could speak to that. Like you're not gonna, it's not like a drug that you're gonna go, oh, I took it and my palpitations are gone now forever. So a week, if you're noticing a decrease, I would say you're on the right track and keep doing it. And I certainly keep doing the acupuncture because you want to, you know, get into the energetics of the calm state. And I would say if you haven't done, when was the last time you did a blood test?
Well, actually, the doctor I went to see because of it, she asked me to draw blood. So I had blood drawn, but I don't have the results.
Results yet. Okay. So I would be looking there to see if there's any shifts or changes in there, you know, especially in the thyroid area. You know, maybe there's something that's happened that's caused your thyroid to go a little hyper. Have you lost any weight during this period of time?
Actually, I haven't measured. I haven't weighed myself.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be another sign that maybe the thyroid is heading into overactive. Thyroid can become overactive from, you know, the main cause is Graves' disease, but that's most common. But it can have, you can have a temporary hyperthyroid from a viral infection and from stress situations. And it just comes and it may last a month or two and then it goes away. So it's, you know, the blood should show some of that if that's an issue.
I have had a hyperthyroid in the past for three times during my life, but it showed differently. Then my heart was beating constantly, very fast, and I was completely exhausted. With everything, I could hardly get upstairs.
Yeah, so that was more of an extreme state. So this might be your body indicating that you're heading into that. So what did you do to reverse that?
Homeopathy helped me.
Okay, yeah. And you're on, you know, your diet is really clean at this point. And I think adding in this throughout the day meditations, but if you have that tendency, you may have a tendency to have some autoantibodies that kick in when you get stressed and then they calm down when you're not. And what you described is more of an extreme case, but this is like you're just noticing a real subtle little thing, and it's certainly worth looking at the thyroid numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, they do here only the T4? No.
TSH and T4 maybe.
Yeah, that's all.
That'll give us an indication. That doesn't give you the subtle stuff like the conversions, but that'll give you an indication of whether you're presenting as hypo or hyper. You know, you look at the TSH before that should give you enough of an indication to know whether you want to go deeper, you know, with testing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, you know better than to go by their ranges. They say, oh, yeah, it's 0.07. It's fine. Nah, not really, right? So if it's below one, I would start to take, I would look at it compared to last time, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to last time. And if it's dropped significantly. Now, are you taking any like pregnenolone? Pregnenolone is a bioidentical hormone for adrenal.
I mean, for estrogen and for progesterone, liposomal hormones, which I rub onto the skin.
Okay. And those are just the estrogen and progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've had people who have taken pregnenolone. It's really rare, but it threw them into a hyperthyroid state.
Ah.
They were taking pregnenolone itself.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what else could be causing. You had your heart functionally looked at, structurally looked at.
Not completely. I think the doctor wants me to have a 24-hour scan.
So wearing the monitor, mm-hmm. and then you bring it in. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea, especially since it's sporadic, just to see. But chances are it could very well be the pushing yourself piece, right? And you have this tendency towards having your thyroid go overactive, and maybe it's subtly starting to go in that direction,
mm-hmm.
right? And especially if it was a subtle level of antibodies, that cause that, which they may not have tested if they didn't test for it. But sometimes like antithyroglobulin can do that. Not as much TPO. It's more related to hypo, but it could be that as well. So, okay. And so, you know, when you feel it in the morning, you feel that starting, if you wake up in the morning, that's the time to go into a meditation and heart math. And just, you know, and when it comes up, it, you know, whenever something is going on with our hearts, it tends to be it makes itself worse, right? Because you're panicking. Ah, my heart, right? And then you get worse. So it's like, oh, my heart's talking to me again. My heart needs my love. My heart needs me to slow down. My heart needs me to calm. What can I do to support it and get into parasympathetic state? You might look at a book called The Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve. And he talks about some very specific activities in there that you can do physically in different touch points that are similar to craniosacral, but he has them that you can do on yourself that gets you into that place. He talks about the dorsal and the ventral vagus nerve. We always have always talked about the vagus nerve versus the sympathetic, and now it's the dorsal, the ventral, and the ventral part is the part that makes you feel safe and connected and in your power, and the ventral one tends to be the fight flight, but not the fight, but the flight part, and it puts you into that lack of safety, and it definitely affects heart and lungs and digestive tract. Have you noticed any digestive tract changes during this time?
No, not really. I mean, maybe that I have a little bit more wind, but I'm eating quite a lot of brassicas, and I think in earlier times I used to even react more with brassicas and wind. Mm-hmm. But I mean, not like extreme.
Yeah. But if you haven't changed the amount of brassicas you've eaten over the last month, that could just be a subtle sign also that it's the vagus nerve is involved.
Ah.
Right. Any difficulty with breathing, like difficulty breathing, going, you know, catching your breath or shortness of breath or shallow breathing that you've noticed?
Not that I noticed, but when I have a sequence of palpitations, it seems like that there is like a slight pressure which doesn't let me breathe freely.
Yeah. So my suspicion, you know, rule out thyroid, but my suspicion is that vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. And vagus nerve is very much related to the stress. So you can just start to do some things you already know how to do with the breathing and the appreciation and, you know, just following your breath and do it throughout the day. But look at that book, because there's a whole section in that book on self-touch places, things that you can do to calm things down.
It was called The Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve.
Yep.
And do you know the author?
No, but it...
I put the link in the chat.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah.
Thank you both, Lynn.
Healing Power of Vagus Nerve. Yeah, there you go. Good. Yeah, parasites. Parasites can do something like that, right? But that's why I asked a lot about the travel, right? Some of the historical stuff. Did she travel? Did she go to another country? Did something weird happen environmentally?
Have some parasites, but don't ask me now which ones. I forgot it again. I had a GI map test done about 2 months ago. Okay. And it was not major.
Yeah.
Something major. But I now got all the stuff to take.
So I would, you know, just to cover all bases, since it does exist there, that could be contributing as well.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you as well. All right. Anything more before we go back around and see who else? There's Donna. Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
Donna, hi.
Hi.
What are you drinking there?
So this one is spinach, chia seeds, two different kinds of sprouts, and then a whole bunch of fruit.
I'm so glad to see you drinking your greens. All right. How can we support you today?
So a good thing, I'm trying to exercise more. Yesterday, I actually did a 2.5 mile bike ride.
Whoa, good job. What was it?
That's a ton for me.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. I've been working on the Total Gym too.
Awesome. When do you go to Hippocrates?
So we have 1 week left.
Wow, that's exciting. How are you feeling about it?
For myself, I'm feeling good. For my son, I'm a little bit nervous. You know,
how's he feeling? Is he nervous?
I'd imagine so. He's at that stage, you know, this last 2 weeks, I said, no more of the other food. And so he's like, I can't just eat vegetables. You know, just like me. So, So
interesting. I think it's an adventure and it's an experience. And I know that you'll do well because you did well the last time you went away and did a retreat. And it'll be a new experience for him and it'll expose him to people with more extreme ideas than you.
He keeps, you know, because so right now he's in that stage where he's having the withdrawals and the headache and the not feeling good and everything. And I said, if you give in, then you're just prolonging all that agony. Yeah. I said, so, you know, and it's almost better for him because I'm making sure, you know what I mean? Like I'm forcefully doing this and he sees that as bad. But for me as an adult, if I wanted something, I could just go, you know, I could just go get it.
Yeah.
So
good for you. So how can we support you?
So I'm having a little issue. I'm not sure exactly why this is. It's been happening for the last couple weeks. So this is a lot of hair.
Oh.
All of this hair from one shower.
Wow.
It's a lot of hair.
It's a lot of hair, yeah.
In between the showers, it's a lot of hair, you know, that I have to clean my brush numerous times. I'd lose some, not a big deal. But this is crazy. This is a lot of hair. Every time I shower, and I shower, you know, every few days or whatever. And I don't know if it's, you know, just the process with the toxins or if it's something new that's happening with my body.
You know, I was thinking in terms of the shifting, right? You're making changes and things are shifting. I actually went through a period, now my hair is big and fat and thick again, but where my hair was, I was noticing that too. I'm like, huh, what's going on? What's going on? And then it's like suddenly it's back to being big and fat and thick again. So I think that as you're making changes, as you're detoxing, as you're getting off of some of these foods and things, your body is shedding. And shedding is a good thing in a lot of ways, right? And so it's getting prepared and you're going into a 3 week intervention, let's just say, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be evaluating you and putting you on if you need IVs or if you need whatever else they need. I shouldn't have said that word to you, but needles, IVs, right? But whatever their therapeutic interventions are to really look at what's going on for you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see some shifts. So I think what I would say is don't worry about it. It will come back. It could be related to thyroid. It could be related to your adrenals and you're under a lot of stress making this transition. So it could be related to that. That's very common. A biotin nutrient can be low, but that you suddenly develop a biotin deficiency is not that common, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably that combination as things are shifting.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been under a lot more stress than I am right now, and I've never had that happen. You know what I mean? So that's why the only thing I can really, like, so, like, after the surgery and that, and, you know, the toxins coming out, just, you know, my underarms smelling, like, horrid, you know, that finally has ceased. Yay.
Yay.
Because I'm not using deodorant, you know, I don't want to make it worse or anything. so I haven't been using deodorant, but yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, this is just the next step.
It could very well be, and I would say let's look at it after you get back to see like how you transition, because that's going to be really important for you to get support with, okay, now I'm back. I really have, you know, shed some extra weight. I've gotten some balance here, but now you're going to want to keep going. And that's where, you know, really looking at things and reevaluating things and seeing if they, you know, maybe your thyroid medication is the wrong dose now, right?
Well, because I just got that tested. Like last Monday, we went to our holistic doctor and, you know, he tests all those different supplements and everything for me. I am on that liver care that I take every day. And he said, you know, my nature thyroid that I take, it's still at a half grain.
Okay.
So I think it's the only thing I can really think that it would be would just the next step of, you know, after surgery and having all those toxins on my body and it trying to get rid of those toxins.
Yeah.
The way
and shifting and then just shifting.
Raw, you know. My hair is like straw.
Straw, dry, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it started happening around, like, at one point, there was a point where I could tell something was wrong with the right side, like that there was a leak or something, and it was ruptured. But, yeah, so it's like it all of a sudden, because I had super wonderful hair, and then all of a sudden it was like straw. I'm like, what on earth is happening? And that was another one of the things is like, there's something's going on.
So that happened when you were just, you know, a few weeks after surgery. So it started to feel like straw.
Before.
Oh, before.
That was before
the surgery. Okay. You started to notice that. Yeah.
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 So I don't know if maybe the straw now just needs to get out of my head.
It needs to get out. It got very dry and maybe the roots and the root system got pretty, you know, damaged or dry.
No.
I think we wait and see here. I think I wouldn't worry about it. I know, you know, it becomes an issue of, you know, pride in your appearance and loving your hair. Because I've always noticed, ooh, great hair. I love your hair. So, but I think that, I think I'd just like not even think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing to prep for this and then do the prep for it and go through it. And then we can look at like what's out of balance and what might need to be maintained. Because you've made major dietary shifts and you've had some, you know, not so good habits for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just, you know, it's like something very different that happened. Yeah. So, all right, what's going on?
Keep an eye on it and see where it goes, right? Yeah. I know you're not going to become bald. That's for sure.
I have a lot of hair.
You have a lot. It'll stay. Yeah. And we'll see how it goes after you get through this major detox process. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, for you, it's really making a commitment to you. Making a commitment that even if your son, I'm just going to say, worst case, even if he doesn't continue with it, if he rebels, you got to keep going for you.
Yeah. Because I already know that you know, even looking at the 23andMe stuff, you know, as far as the animal protein versus the plant protein, you know, so not eating meat is not going to, I love meat. I really do, but it doesn't love me. And I've eaten so much meat in my life that maybe that's another toxic load that's trying to get out.
Yeah, and your body's shifting to being more efficient at handling plant protein as well versus animal protein.
Now, like when I first started drinking these smoothies a while back, oh my gosh, the headaches and the nausea from drinking something this potent, you know, was horrendous on me. And, you know, I'm sure, because I was even a little nervous. I talked to the guy at Hippocrates and the head guy in the kitchen. And he, you know, assured me that if we need to have some steamed veggies, then that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, they're not so dogmatic about it all being wrong. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I'm sure they have to slow people's detoxes down a lot doing that.
Yeah, because it's like, I may not be able to function if I'm just completely strictly raw food, you know, just how much my gut is messed up and everything.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that that's how they manage it.
Yeah.
Well, so, good. I'm excited for you. You leave like next Monday or something?
We leave. So it's the 7th.
The 7th. So right after 4th of July weekend. Great.
Yeah. Sunday.
Woo-hoo. Yay.
3 weeks.
I'm excited for you. I'm going to send you all the good vibes. You've come so far and you're just going to keep going way far. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I can get this, you know, and there's, you know, I sneak this, I sneak that, you know what I mean? Like when I'm at home here. And so being there, it will force me just like it did even more so than it did at the other place. And it was just a miracle change. And then I gradually got worse again, but I know what it will do. So I'm just really excited.
I'm excited for you. Yay. Well, we'll see you when you get back. We'll see you early at the end of July, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
When you get back. Cool. Well, good luck with it all. I'll be thinking about you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Donna. Okay. Who else? Do we come coming back to Susanna or does somebody else have something? I think we heard from everybody else. So, oh, Susanna. Oops. Unmute yourself, dear. Okay got it.
The last time, just a couple of nights ago when we talked, you had recommended slow niacin, and I was looking at the information about it, and it said, and this is my quick question, I have one that's about a lab. It said to proceed with caution if you've ever had jaundice or hepatitis. Mm-hmm. Well, I had jaundice when I had mono at age 19, and I think whenever you have jaundice as an adult, they suspect it was hepatitis, although no one ever told me that was hepatitis. But I mean, it turned yellow. My eyeballs turned yellow, you know, the whole thing.
It was like a 6-week ordeal, something like that.
Yeah, it took me about a month to get back to normal.
It was like a, you know, hepatitis A kind of infection. could have been at the cause of it.
So anyway, I was a little nervous seeing that.
I don't know what the mechanism is for that. Like, let me just look something up. Niacin and liver. Niacin. And you can do it real slow. Didn't you find a slow niacin that was just a small, like 100 or something, and then you cut them in half? Or was it what?
Yeah, there's the slow niacin actually comes in three different strengths. One is 250, one is 500, which is the one that's mostly sold, and then they'd actually have a 750. And you could, they're little elongated caplets with a score mark, and they tell you can break them in half on the score line, but no more. You can't like break them into quarters or anything. So I had gotten a hold of the 125s and broke, or the 250s and broke it in half to 125. And I had a TIA, so I stopped it again.
Oh.
Still too much. So.
Still too much.
A long time. So apparently the Dr. Allen actually had a call about a week ago, and he was saying there's circumstances where you should not take niacin or the slow niacin. And that's if you've got high homocysteine or if you are a bleeder.
It looks like, you know, there are definitely some studies that say that low dose, even low dose niacin can trigger hepatitis.
Okay.
So it may not be a good thing.
Yeah, and the liver may be involved in that, the blood thinning part of it too. So like she said, take caution when you're using it. If there's any reason why you shouldn't be taking niacin.
Other possibility is not getting the just getting regular 100s or 50s. I think even Paula might have found a 50.
I did find one.
And just you take open it and you open, take a pinch.
Yeah, I found one that's an herbal one that's at 50. So, but I haven't been brave enough to try it. It seems like every time I try niacin,
and then I wouldn't take it. You know, and it could be, and you have the MTHFR, you have a homozygous, right? And niacin can deplete methyl groups. So maybe we just look at the CoQ10, which you're doing, maybe up your CoQ10 a little bit.
Yeah, we doubled it 2 weeks ago. So
Yeah. So I'm saying Susanna too, like double your CoQ10. There is a CoQ10 NADH, which is a niacin form that specifically goes into mitochondria. That is Seeking Health has. It's a little lozenge.
I actually started that one. I'm liking that one.
You liking that one?
I haven't had any trouble at all. In fact, it seems to be boosting my energy levels a little bit.
Good. So that one might be one to look at, because both of those CoQ10 and the NADH can be supportive with the lipid panel.
Okay. So here's my big question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. In my labs, there is a toxic metals test, and that was done by EDTA urine provocation.
Right, challenge, right?
Right, 24-hour urine collection. And at one point, and I hear my husband coming in, I'm going to change rooms. At one point, you said that you weren't able really to answer that question until you had looked at my genetic pathways, which are detox pathways, which are hardly pristine.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was wondering if you had any advice for me about...
Let me look at this. And it was done when? These are Bredesen Protocol, Optimal DX, Nutrivine.
The provocation was done very recently, like within the last couple of months.
Okay, so Genova, GIFX, Nutrival, Optimal DX. Okay, that's your thing. Quest Lab, was it done through Quest Lab or no?
No.
Chronometer, supplements, lipids, Dutch, organic. Ah, toxic metals. There we go. Okay. Let's see. Open a new window. Here we go. Okay, so... And then I'm going to also open up, while I have it here, I'm going to open up your genetics.
Right.
Have that handy. Genetic detoxification. All right. We have two of them. Okay. So we have... So you have high levels of cadmium, lead, and thallium, and a little bit of cesium. And then the ones that are at the border, right, the high end of the reference range, would be aluminum, barium. You have, and you know, it's interesting because several of these are contrast medias, right? They're used as contrast medias when they want to do like a scan, radioisotope. Have you had any of those or many of those?
Not any time recently.
Well, how long ago?
Barium enemas and drinking the barium, probably my 20s, maybe my 30s, but...
It's a long time ago.
Long time ago.
I mean, sometimes this stuff stays, right? And it's stored in your body and you did an EDTA challenge to pull it out of wherever it was stored.
Right.
Cadmium, did you used to be a smoker?
Long time ago. Like 40 years ago.
You know, and it's possible because of your detox pathways that this stuff just got sequestered away long time ago and wasn't released. Let me look at your detox pathways again.
I do think that I tend to be one of those people that the detox phase one goes pretty well, and the detox phase two is sluggish, and so it gets reabsorbed.
You know, I'm looking at, you have a lot. So I'm looking at thinking about this in terms of something that's going to very slowly pull this stuff out. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember during the time you were doing this, did you have any like adverse effects, like during the test going, oh, I don't feel so hot?
The urine test?
Well, yeah, during that period after you did the EDTA challenge and then you were collecting for 24 hours.
No, but I have gone through, because I had my mercury fillings out, I've actually gone through two chelations, you know, the 30 some odd IV chelations.
and the mercury, it seems to have actually worked on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first time I did the chelation, right after I got the mercury out of my mouth, after a while, I started feeling really good. The second time I did it, which was several years later, I felt like crap the whole time, just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something different that second time. I don't know. But with the challenge, no, I didn't feel bad.
You didn't feel it. It's probably too short a period of time anyway. But I was thinking in terms of the urine, obviously the EDTA will mobilize it. Likely if you did this unchallenged, these numbers would all be in the normal. So it's pulling it out of storage. What happens when you do a chelation, whether it's IV or it's urine or some people do suppositories, it can actually yank out your good minerals too.
Right.
And it's possible that that first time it what you were replete enough that it didn't matter much. And so you just felt the goodness. And that second time you were getting depleted of your zinc and other really important minerals. And that caused a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were in your position, I would be looking at very specific things, very gentle things. I would be looking at like detox drainage formulas homeopathically. I would be looking at things like the mineral, like the fulvic acid type mineral things to replace them while you're doing something like a modified citrus pectin, you know, very gentle. It could take 6 months of modified citrus pectin and it'll also support your liver, you know, your pathways in your liver. And I would say that might be a good, real gentle detox program to start to yank these out. And then maybe in 6 months you go back and you do another challenged urine and see where it's at.
Okay. Are there any products that,
So as far as the modified citrus pectin, it's called Pectisolve, and it's Eugenics, I think, is the brand name. It's very, very readily available. And then for fulvic acid type stuff, do you have any good recommendations, Lynn Rose? I use, what's the name of it? Ultimate Superfoods has one that I use. But since you do a lot of drainage, Lynn does a lot of drainage and stuff with homeopathic type stuff with her patients. Yeah, Lynn just put the link up. Is that a good one? Microbe bioactive carbon bio detox. Okay, and what's in that one, Lynn?
I don't have my glasses on, but it's humic, fulvic, yucca, broccoli sprouts, and molybdenum,
however you want to say it. And that actually helps those sulfur, the sulfur pathways too. Let me see what your sulfur pathways are like.
They're pretty good, I think.
They're
pretty
good.
Can you hold that up again, Lynn? Can you hold I like microbe formulas. They don't bother me. I can tolerate their supplements. Microbe biotech. Microbe formulas.
Biotox.
Biotox. See, they do a program in phases, and they make sure your bowels are moving first, and then they support the liver and kidneys, and then they start going for parasites and metals. So, you know, you want to make sure all the pathways are open.
Right. So how are your gut pathways?
And the lymphatics, too.
Yeah. Mine?
Yeah.
Not great. I have to take dynamite to go.
To go, that's right. Right.
Start there.
Yeah. You got to make sure you're getting 2 to 3 bowel movements a day if you're going to start to mobilize metals.
So I guess I would have to take something like the Health Force has the intestinal movement.
Not anymore.
This same company has an intestinal mover as well.
They do?
The whole system, yeah.
Well, and look at that.
I bought some from the intestinal from Health Force at the co-op.
Recently?
Yeah.
They told me that it was, I want some. We ordered it through our co-op here?
Well, no, not the Wheatsville.
Oh, at Wheatsville you bought it. Oh,
I bought Wheatsville, yeah.
I have to go buy them out because I love, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. But look at the stuff that Lynn is, look at that company to see what theirs is like and just find something that's going to get those bowels moving at least twice a day while you're doing this. And if not, enemas, enemas, colonics, things like that to keep things me. Yeah.
Dr. J. Davidson and Todd Watts that have this company. And I like. Plus they have if you're a practitioner, they have another line called Cellcore that you can get cheaper. So I like their products.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, so get your gut moving because you want to be able to eliminate this stuff, right? Because if you mobilize and then you reabsorb, your poor liver is, yeah, not going to like it very much. Okay?
Yep.
Sound reasonable? There you go. Lymph tox. Okay. What is that, like cleavers and stuff in the lymphatic? Cleavers and maybe poke?
Got turkey rhubarb, sheep sorrel, burdock, slippery elm, astragalus, graviola, and chihuahua, something.
Interesting. I'm surprised there's no cleavers in there.
I know.
Can you hold that up again?
Kidney, liver, or the lymphatic?
What did you find on?
The lymphatic detox and then kidney, liver, detox.
Well, you found Health Force on Thrive Market, Angelica. Boy, okay. Oh, detox. Okay, biotox. Okay. Does that help?
Yes. I think it does because I know my doctor, who is a functional medicine guy, is going to say, well, you need to do the, you know, the IV again. And I just don't think that's a good idea.
No, I think if you can do it and strengthen all of your own body's organs of elimination, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out this company and see what they have because if it's a line that you can do in an order that you can do it in, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to click that link or get that link that link Angelica just put in. And then I'm going to check out for that copy. Put it over here. Because I've been trying to get that. Every time I do one of those liver cleanse things, I just like that formula. It's gentle and it's really effective. All right. Who else? Anything? Oh, do you have any more, Susanna? Or I think we're close to the end. Oh, we are. I have another call in.
No. I've taken up enough time.
You've been fine. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
I'm so glad to see you on the calls regularly now. It's really good. Thanks. All right, guys. It's end. So if anybody wants to end with one word wrap up, something you're planning to do, go for it. Otherwise, we'll hit the road. And I think we'll be sending you guys, hopefully tomorrow, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed to get it set up, that two-day live stream thing that I offered last night. I don't know who was on that call, but we had over 300 people registered for that already. It's like, it was insane. Like people are just like clamoring, but we'll send you a link to it so that you have access, all of you guys. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. And yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
You're not going to do SIV this year, right?
No, we're doing this two-day live stream instead. It's a two-day, like we're going to be in my house. I'm going to be doing food demos in my kitchen. And we're going to be doing teaching and stuff like that. We did it last year and it was a big success. So, yeah. Doing the two live events a year got to be just like exhausting for us, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So when are you doing that two-day thing?
It's the 27th and the 28th of July. Yeah. We did it last year, and it was great. It was really great. You guys were on it, right? Diana, you were on it. Barbara, were you on it? No. So I know Diana was on it. Sarah was on it, at least part of it, because she spoke. Who else was on it? Lynn was on it for sure. But it was fun. It was really.
Yeah, I like there too because then it's a lot less taxing on everything.
It's a lot less taxing than having to go and travel. But and we set it up the same way as an event. So have a session, have a break, have a session, have lunch, have a session, have a break, and then we had an optional evening if people wanted to just come and ask questions, and then the next day same sort of thing. And I think we ended by 5 o'clock on Sunday. And it was just really, I enjoyed it. And for us, it was so easy. My husband's sitting there going, I'm sitting here in my shorts and t-shirt and I'm filming the camera. This is so much easier than SIV. And at some point, one of my plans is to do some small retreats where just like 10 to 20 people and we just go to some really nice retreat center and just, you know, be together and make food and do meditation and do all of that. So that's freeing up from doing the SID thing, frees up some time to be able to do some of those. So, all right, guys, have a good one.
I got two words.
Oh, what?
Praise God. That's all I've got for you. I heard so much encouraging stuff today, and I just want to thank you, Krisha, Donna, for Barbara, everybody that said anything today. Susanna, there is so much hope here. Things are really starting to turn, and I just want to say praise God and prayers for everybody that needs them.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.